I believe, the one that we had been praying for, who had heart issues at birth, suddenly passed away unexpectedly last night. So we need to pray for that. Heavenly Father, we do pray for, well, we can't even pray for comfort, Lord. We just pray for you to minister in the heart of this family. Give them in some way your peace. We know that you are able to do all things well. Lord, bless this message to your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was going to read this passage, but in the interest of time, I was thinking about not. You know, no. Here I go. I'm going to read it. Picking up at verse 31 of Acts 9, so that you know what I'm talking about when I'm preaching. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Now, as Peter and there among them all, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. There he found a man named Enos, a bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, "Enos, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed." And immediately he rose. And all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now, there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. And in those days, she became ill and died. And when they washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter rose and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive, and it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. And I'm really glad I did. Now, today, I want to talk about God's people. We've experienced that. We've experienced God's people. Bonnie talked about it. Leah referred to it. And we experienced it with Chris up on the screen. So the truth is that I do that often. I talk about God's people often. So it's really not new. But I want to affirm you. I want to affirm you as God's people and encourage us to be like these people here in the book of Acts. In a little bit, we're going to talk about the word saints, which literally is what the title of this sermon, what this sermon means, a people set apart. Well, that's what we are. We are a people set apart. So that makes you saints. As I began writing this sermon, a song popped into my head about being God's people. And I should have us sing it, but I'm not sure how familiar it is for many of you. So I'm just going to recite the entire song as a poem. And here it is. We are God's people, the chosen of the Lord, born of his Spirit, established by his word. Our cornerstone is Christ alone, and strong in him we stand. Oh, let us live transparently and walk heart to heart and hand in hand. We are God's loved ones, the bride of Christ our Lord, for we have known it, the love of God outpoured. Now, let us learn how to return the gift of love once given. Oh, let us share each joy and care and live with a zeal that pleases heaven. We are the body of which the Lord is head, called to obey him. Now risen from the dead, he wills us be a family, diverse, yet truly one. Oh, let us give our gifts to God, and so shall his work on earth be done. We are a temple, the Spirit's dwelling place, formed in great weakness, a cup to hold God's grace. We die alone, for on its own, each ember loses fire. Yet, joined in one, the flame burns on to give warmth and light to inspire. Do you get that? Alone, we just die. An ember burns out. Together, we're a flame. That's talking about saints. It lays out rather concisely in that song, a people set apart. They're living for God and living for one another. Notice that. Living for God and living for one another. And it's a good lead in to the scripture that I had as I opened the talk. First, in verse 31, we find the word church. Specifically, this is the first time church is used for the followers of Jesus Christ. Previously, they were referred to as believers or people of the way or disciples. But this is the first that we see the word church, which in the Greek is ecclesia, which describes us perfectly, actually. At least it should. The word church, ecclesia, literally means, and you've heard me say this before over the last 21 years, God's called out ones. We've been called out from the world to be his people and to do his work. We are what Peter described in the King James Version, a peculiar people. He wrote this, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. And that doesn't mean that we're weird, okay? Because now peculiar means, well, he's really peculiar, you know? People say that of me or Ben sometimes. But in 1911, when the King James was first rendered, the word peculiar meant what the English Standard Version translates this way: as you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Being God's chosen people means being his called out ones, the ones for his possession. We're his. We're called out and we're his. We are set apart for his work. Something else to point out here is that there's peace for the people of God. The close proximity of this to verse 30, our last verse for last week's message, where we see, and when the brothers learned this, they brought him, Saul, down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. And now this doesn't mean It's because that Saul departed that the people have peace. Okay? Oh, good. Paul's gone. We can have peace. That's not what it meant. It means that the people of God are people of peace. David Guzik points out that it doesn't mean that the persecution had stopped. Instead, it means that they had peace in the midst of persecution. Christ followers are people set apart to not only serve God, but to be an example of peace. Notice also that as the scripture continues, we see that God's people are, as Peter says, Peter was here and there. It says here that Peter, as he was going here and there, they were, these believers were on the road actively living out the gospel. They were busy being Christ followers. Peter was not back in Jerusalem, resting on his laurels and enjoying his apostleship. Instead, Peter's out pastoring his people. In this case, specifically, as he traveled here and there, and I love that here in this scripture, as he was traveling here and there, Peter is visiting the saints in Lydda. And that's that word that I referred to as I began this talk, and it happens to be another first in this passage. This is the first time that Christians are referred to as saints. And it's the very subject of this message, and that's why I've titled it as I've done, that saints are in the Greek, and I'm not trying to impress you with Greek. Okay, it's just that the word pictures you get from knowing the original language are extremely helpful. And the original word for saints and what you are is hagios, not hogs, hagios. Okay, and that means holy and set apart to God. Paul tells the Ephesians, "For by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." And that grace that we are, that gift of grace, assures us further in the next verse, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, that we should be walking in good works. It's just what we do. It's our being. Our being is walking in good works. We are God's workmanship. So remember, if you're ever tempted to think otherwise, God don't make no junk. He doesn't mess up. So if he set you apart and reserved you to be his saints, then if you insult you, you're insulting his workmanship. We are set apart for good works. And then we need to actually say, hey, I have a responsibility here. And some of that good works is the good work of sharing his healing. God, here's something that's really important. God's saints know who is actually the one who does the healing. We have here in the text the account of Enos, who had been paralyzed for a number of years, actually 8 years. And notice that Peter says, Jesus Christ heals you. Jesus Christ heals you, rather than I heal you in the name of Jesus, or by any other command. Peter makes it very plain that it's God the Son who's doing the healing. And then he tells Enos, show off a little bit. Stand up And even though you haven't stood up for 8 years, fold up your bed and walk around, and then walk back and tell your family what Jesus Christ has done for you. He said, just get up and do a demonstration. A people set apart know who is the healing one, and they give credit where credit is due. The result of this was that people turned to the Lord. Notice, at the end of all these passages, people turn to the Lord. When the Lord works, people turn to him, and we've seen that time after time as we've studied this church here in Acts. And next, and I'm flying through this, we read about Tabitha, or as she's known in the language of the region, Dorcas. My sister had a roommate in college, and her little brothers were really little, okay? And we loved Dorcas. In fact, I think she lives here in this conference somewhere, or used to. She now lives in California, but we called her Dopus. So the real name, Dorcas is the Aramaic name. Tabitha is another version of it. It's and the actual translation of the name is gazelle. Gazelles are graceful and beautiful, and I think that her name is given to show how graceful and beautiful she is. And Dorcas, that we call Dopus, is that. She's graceful and beautiful. Our text describes Tabitha further as full of good works and acts of charity. But Tabitha had tragically died, just suddenly, and the loss was devastating to the community, especially to the widows. And they called for Peter because they had seen that Enos had been healed at Peter's command, that Jesus Christ had healed Enos, and they hoped that something miraculous would happen here for a woman who was so desperately missed. And Peter's response is an example of the fact that saints show up. Saints show up. Bonnie talked about it was amazing to her who showed up on her front door. Peter may have been on the other side of town, and he may have been heading back to Joppa, which probably wasn't that far away, but still, when all you do is walk, there wasn't a bus, there wasn't a train, and he didn't have a horse, okay? So he was walking, and he wasn't really that far away, maybe. Regardless, Peter had to be summoned, but when he was summoned, he turned around and he came right back because saints show up. Peter walked in, he assessed the problem, and he saw the wonderful ministry Tabitha had, and he prayed. And because of that faith and that prayer, and because of Tabitha's good workmanship, she was restored to life. Saints show up, and then they see results. Well, truthfully, it's God who does it. But saints are God's set-apart people who do his workmanship. And notice the result. People turned to the Lord again. Specifically, it says, and many believed in the Lord. And there it is again. Now, I'm closing this out with a final thought, and it's very simple. People set apart bring about the kind of transformation that makes the church grow in spirit and in numbers. And one more thing, and this is a lead-in to next Sunday's talk from Acts 10. People set apart for God aren't driven by the culture. We don't say, oh, well, that's not popular or whatever. As our passage ends here, as as chapter 9 ends, we have Peter staying in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. And you're going to see next week why Peter's lodgings were really, really countercultural. Okay? So, to be continued. Amen? Let's stand and have a word of prayer. We are God's people, the chosen of the Lord, born of his Spirit, established by his word. Our cornerstone is you, Christ alone, and strong in you we stand. Help us, Lord, to live transparently and to walk heart to heart and hand to hand. Heavenly Father, we bless you so much that you have seen fit to give us sainthood, that we are your set apart to do your good work. Thank you that we are your ecclesia, your called out ones, as we are called out from the world. Give us, fill us with your Spirit as we live in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Save some.